Welcome to Greenhass & Jenks Media Clip Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking with John Berlinski, a partner at Kasowitz Benson Torres, where he chairs the firm's entertainment practice group, as well as Chad Fitzgerald, a partner at Kinsella, Weitzman, Iser, Kump, Aldisert, where he specializes in complex entertainment industry disputes, as well as business and intellectual property litigation. Gentlemen, welcome, and thank you for spending a few minutes with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Good morning.
Our topic of the podcast is the Bones case, which has been in the news over the last several years and months, and has been recently settled. And we have several questions for you both, John and Chad, and I'll get started. And the first question is, what was the underlying key issues raised and the decisions made in this case?
This is Chad Fitzgerald. Thanks again, Alon, for having us. This case was a classic sort of quintessential vertical integration case. So the issues predominated around this television show Bones that aired on the Fox network for, I think it was 12 seasons. And it was produced by 20th Century Fox Television. And obviously 20th Century Fox Television and the Fox Broadcasting Network are sister companies owned by the same company. So when a show is produced by one arm of a vertically integrated media company and licensed to another arm, there is the potential for self-dealing. I mean, it is self-dealing kind of by definition, and there's also the potential for undercutting the license fees for that show and in various exhibition formats on broadcast television, as well as streaming, international, all the different various avenues. There's the potential and the incentive, frankly, to undervalue the amount of those transactions in order to keep more money within the parent corporation and pay less money out of that silo to profit participants. And John and I represented four profit participants on the show, essentially the creators, the producers, and two of the main actors. And John, I will throw it over to you now to elaborate.
Sure. And so, as Chad said, it's kind of your classic self-dealing litigation, and there were various issues that were brought up. Essentially, our clients alleged that the self-dealing had occurred in connection with streaming on sister company Hulu, that it had occurred in connection with the network license of the series to the Fox television network, and then it also had occurred overseas with respect to a number of the different networks, mostly cable networks, that Fox and 20th Century Fox own overseas. And really the sum and substance of the arbitrator's decision was that the self-dealing had in fact occurred in all of those different transactions, that but for the existence of the related parties and the fact that Fox was dealing with its affiliates and its sister companies, we would have seen significantly higher license fees. And further, the arbitrator found that Fox did this intentionally, that it was not some mistake, but rather it was the product of intentional behavior and an intent by Fox and its executives to defraud our clients, essentially understanding that their contracts required that these transactions be done as though Fox was dealing with third parties. And in fact, that was not the case, that these transactions were done in what we called sweetheart deals, and that was done intentionally. And that very decision, though there has been an appeal as to a particular narrow issue about punitive damages, that decision made by the arbitrator was ultimately upheld and was never questioned, that in fact Fox engaged in self-dealing and that Fox had defrauded all of our clients.
Yeah, this is very helpful, and I really appreciate that. So the vertical integration issue certainly has been the center of this case, and I appreciate walking us through it. Moving on, to the extent you can share, We hope you can elaborate on the key process challenges that are faced by litigators with a complex case like this and how you overcome those challenges throughout the life cycle of probably a fairly long engagement.
Sure. This is John. I can start with that one. So I think one of the big issues, probably the most significant issue that any litigator faces in a case is how do you most effectively persuade your audience? And how you do that, of course, depends on who the audience is. This particular matter was tried in front of an arbitrator, and a very sophisticated arbitrator who had many years of experience presiding over cases, both as an arbitrator and as a judge. And so I think one of the challenges that litigators face is how do we present this case to someone who is very sophisticated, and how do we do so in a way that convinces him of our client's views, but does not in any way talk down to him. And I know with this particular arbitrator, again, being a very sophisticated former judge, there was always a challenge throughout the case as you're trying to prove a case, not to do anything that, again, would be talking down to the arbitrator, would be insulting him, but rather would be treating him as a very sophisticated individual. But I think the notion of how do you take, literally tens, if not hundreds of thousands of documents, and how do you condense that down into really, a handful or 10 documents that are going to be the core of the case and effectively persuade that audience. I think that's kind of the core of what we do. And we were very fortunate in this case to have a very sophisticated, very smart arbitrator who easily understood those arguments and those issues and those documents.
Yeah, and just to elaborate on that, on what John said, he's right that we had tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of pages of documents. And as you, Alon, mentioned, this case from inception through completion of the arbitration hearing was years. It was probably 3 years. And we went through a ton of discovery. We developed a ton of evidence. We developed our case. But I think another important challenge that John and I and our teams faced was in any trial or arbitration, no matter how sophisticated the arbitrator is, you have to be able to be very nimble at the hearing. And we were able, fortunately, to do that. It goes back to the famous Mike Tyson quote, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth, right? And so even though we had spent years developing the evidence and developing the arguments, we still had to be very quick on our feet at the hearing because things would come up, things that were redacted would be produced at the arbitrator's direction, unredacted. Sort of not surprise evidence, but in a way evidence that we hadn't fully obtained through discovery was brought to light, and we had to react very quickly still within the case theme that we had advanced. And we were fortunately able to do that, I think, very well.
Thank you. And as we look to the future, I wanted to see if you can share some of the key takeaways and recommendations with transactional attorneys and other talent representatives out there as they consider the future deals in the industry.
Sure. I think, one of the takeaways from this is make sure you audit and make sure that you call up folks like you. And when you have a participation interest in television series and a movie or otherwise, look into it. See whether you're being accounted to correctly. I know with respect to this case, there were certain representations that were made to certain of our clients years before they ended up auditing and bringing this litigation that our clients only found were untrue when they all got together to conduct the audit. And so, I think it's really important not to assume that those participation statements that you're receiving are accurate at the time you receive them. I think it's important to talk to people who are experts in this business and ask them what they think about those statements, whether there are steps to be taking to make sure that those statements are in fact accurate, and to get together with other talent who have similar participation interests in a show or in a movie and say, hey, might we group together and conduct an audit? Because you really don't know whether you're being treated fairly, and you really don't know the extent to which you are not being treated fairly until you get together and you get the right professionals in there to take a look at the underlying books and records and the contracts. That's what, you know, our clients and their representatives were wise enough to do in this case. And fortunately for them, it led to a very successful resolution.
And I would just add that for transactional attorneys and agents, if you are representing a client who is fortunate enough to obtain a profit participation interest in a television show, and also that show is with a vertically integrated media company, it almost goes without saying, but pay very, very special attention to any contractual language that purports to bind the company to behave in a certain way when it's dealing with its affiliates, because that was the entire bedrock and crux of our case, that Fox had agreed to language that obligated it to essentially treat its affiliated transactions like they were arm's length transactions. Now, it can never be exact, because by definition, an affiliated transaction is not at arm's length, but there are certain steps that the studio can go through to ensure that the participants are treated fairly. And it all goes back to the wording of that clause and that language. So I would just, as a litigator, urge the transactional counsel out there to pay special attention to that language and those clauses.
Thank you both. Those are good points. Just to end our conversation, I was actually thinking, you mentioned, Chad, 3 year of work is now has come to an end, you know, with the settlement. And I'm just curious to find out, not necessarily this case, but any case, when you have such a great win for clients, how do you celebrate as a team?
Well, usually a big dinner is always called for. And it's funny, John and I's relationship and friendship and working relationship goes back well beyond this case, but we are still, because we are, you know, have busy lives and families, we're still trying to nail down the date for our celebratory dinner amongst our two firms. But I know my team and my firm, we went out just to a nice dinner to celebrate.
Great.
And as for me, I think the sad truth in many respects is that you start to refocus on all the clients who you have unfortunately not been able to service in the way that you would like to during the course of a very rigorous and difficult trial. But yeah, of course, you try to get together, you try to celebrate a little bit, and you know, thank all those people, including you, Alon, who were so integral in achieving the result.
Thank you. First of all, congratulations on this incredible win for your clients, and I really wanted to thank you for spending time with us this morning. And thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.